settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And today's show is called Healing in the Spirit World. And we're continuing our discussions about how they actually heal each other in the spirit world. So that's not really them healing us here, although we might delve into that too a little bit, but we've talked about that a lot. So we're going to talk about healing in the spirit world and how that works there and all the different situations that come up there. So if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, it's not readings today, but to keep to the subject that we're talking about, the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it'll only be a quick call that won't cost you too much. And it's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the ever-wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We have another radio show. That's called Spirit Teaching on ArtistFirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book an Akashic Reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, go and visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com and also at spiritsworkradio.com. What we have to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. When I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is a spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show, and I won't know about anything else that happens, because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. Please do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show, because it would take up too much valuable time, and we'd like to leave all of it as much as we can to the spirit world and the spirit communicators for the show. Okay, so there we are.
So without further ado, Mick is going to go into trance.
I'm going to do that now.
And I'll tell you a little bit about Gregory, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. He's continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, which is very apparent, and he tries to teach us about this every week, and we'll learn a little bit more, or a lot more hopefully, about that today as well, and how it's possible, how you can learn in the spirit world. And now he's coming to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people like you or I. I mean, you know, you and I have information that we can help people with in hindsight of our life if we were talking to people that were having a life now. So, you know, you don't have to be a highly evolved being, but obviously the group is made up of many hundreds and even thousands at times of people who have their input and expertise that they bring with us each week. And the information is without any religious bias or political persuasion, and you know, so that we can keep everybody's rights, their own views and beliefs as they wish. So I'd like to just say that also that we have our little film of Gregory in action on VO, V-E-O-H, VO.com. That's on our website, actually. You can actually click onto that from our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. And at the end of the show, I'll tell you where you can actually meet Gregory in person if you're in the Portland area within the next couple of weeks. I'll tell you about that at the end of the show. Anyway, I do believe Gregory is with us now.
With love and light, my dear friend. I thank you so much for inviting us once again to take part in this program.
Hey, you're welcome. I'm so pleased you turn up every time.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it, dear.
So last week, basically, we started talking about how the healing practices happened in the spirit world and how all sorts of situations came about, actually. Something that I think would be interesting is about how colour is used to heal in the spirit world. Do you use colour to heal?
Yes, absolutely.
And how does this manifest itself?
Yes, interestingly that you state this, because, of course, one would think that in order to have colour, you must have light. In order to have light, you must have a sun or an illumination. And to all intents and purposes, where is it that the illumination comes from? In the spirit world, after all, it's in a different dimension. It's non-physical. Therefore, there must be an object or a system in place in the spirit world which provides an illumination. So that's something that we would have to deal with, first of all, in actually analyzing the whole problem of what color is in the spirit world. So the situation is, of course, that for many events in the spirit world, they actually very often take place in or around the planet of Earth. That doesn't mean to say that those in the spirit world are entrapped within it, but that it's really a case of being in a different dimension, an altered state, but one which also has a part to play in the physical state. So by saying this, it means to say that there are some objects in the coming from the physical state which actually have a part to play in the spirit world as well, the sun being one of them.
Okay, can I just say that you're talking about people that have come from the physical world?
Yes, absolutely.
That you're healing from the physical world. So presumably,
yes.
If it was if you were healing people from another, like alien, who we would call an alien, extraterrestrial person,
yes.
Being from another planet, then they would be healed near their planet.
Well, it is possibly so. Yes, absolutely. Of course, because distance isn't an object, because time and the time it takes to travel from one place to another in the spirit world is immaterial, because it's the process of thought that allows you to travel there. So it isn't necessarily something which you have the problems, the same problems that you have in physical life, of actually being able to accommodate. Also, of course, it is to say that in the spirit world, and the makeup of the spirit world is largely, by and large, controlled by the Shining Ones, who are actually, in a sense, the shards of God, which are the purest of all spirit.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean to say that necessarily human beings all eventually, through enlightenment, become Shining Ones.
No.
It is to say, of course, that that is a particular path of those who are selfless enough and egoless, completely egoless in their physical journey or in their spirit journey, in order to actually be able to make that form of vibration.
And any other journey, journey on any other planet, because extraterrestrials are only spirit, like we are having a different experience. You know,
yes.
Where shall I go for my experience? Oh, well, I'm going to go to this planet, and we came here. It's the same. It's all the same.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Underneath
completely.
It all, we've all got the same spirit, and...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So it is to say, in actual fact, that don't forget that the Shining Ones are responsible for creating many worlds. That is, many worlds in physical three-dimensional state and space. Also, many worlds in the ultra-dimensional states of non-physical reality. So it means to say then that these beings, when they come together and bring light upon a situation, they are using their issuance of love and their loving vibration in order to actually establish a form of light which pervades the entire recesses of that part or area of the spirit world. So does that mean to say then that they can actually turn off light as well as turn it on? Well, of course, they don't turn off their love, but what can very often happen is that human beings or beings who have had a human existence or any other physical existence, for example, upon any planet, that what they will actually do is they will turn on and off their own existence and from their conscious memory. So it is a matter of their conscious memory which allows them to have a presence of day and night and that kind of thing. And also, of course, using and visualizing color as well. Now, so for the point of fact of how it is that we actually maintain an article of color, it means to say that much of this is also to do with the cellular memory of the vibrancy of color that was material in the physical presence. Of course, if you take color as a color light, it means to say that you are actually using the fractions of index of light variance, which happens upon physical dimension, and transporting it or transferring it into the spirit world. If you have a situation of color which appears to be emitting from an object, a plant, shall we say, has a specific color. Why does it show that color? Quite simply because it has everything contained that it is actually repelling that color. That's why you are seeing it and viewing it as a physical object. If you moved into a different vibration, you would not necessarily see the specific color of the origin of that cell structure. You would see the color of the vibration that it was emitting rather than the object itself. In other words, I suppose it's a bit like as if you were looking at a specific kind of film or a certain kind of camera which shows heat intensity, or perhaps using infrared or something like that. You would actually see an object or view which is of a different color variance, quite simply because infrared is just, shall we say, every object is of a specific type or form. You may see things in a form of chronology, in that you see chromatic forms that do not actually have specific color, quite simply because in the spirit world very often color may not be emerging from a particular identity, from a particular energy, quite simply because they do not have that reflective display at that time. Of course, if you turned your attention to them, they may well then actually turn it on. Turning your attention to them would simply be giving your love toward them, giving that energy of vibration of attraction toward some other being, a flower or a plant, may actually it then engage with them and illuminate their thought pattern and their cellular memory from their previous life experience. And that, of course, is why you see it, why you observe it and view it in the spirit world. So much of this actually, of course, as I say, relies upon the fact of a pervasive form of light, which appears to be slightly darker, one would say, than an original daylight that you experience in upon the physical planet of Earth. Now, so that it means that when you have color in the spirit world, when we are using color for a form of healing, we are actually bringing about a color orientation upon the mind of an individual and using that to encompass that individual's consciousness so that they actually dwell within that color. It's almost as though we are importing a color to the consciousness of that individual and allowing that color then to actually form a kind of a different tissue moment, a different consciousness delivery for that being as they actually succumb to the colour that we are giving them. So it gives a different effect to their vibration, and it enables us to actually heal with that vibrational colour. Now, I have to say as well that for you as physical human beings, you may well have experiences of seeing those from the spirit world in a form of colour that they had adopted, perhaps, in their physical life, perhaps not. Shall we say, you may see a pet dog or cat or something like that, and as you see it, as you visualize it from the spirit world, it actually has colors which were part of its own cellular makeup, but it also has colors of vibrancy and energy. This is to do, of course, with the energy that's actually being emitted from the animal itself.
More of an iridescent.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. And you may see this as a form of a bright white light coming through the fur or something like that. Or the white light actually has a tinge of a blue iridescence or something like that. Some real beautiful impact that allows you to see and understand that this is, in fact, a spirit image. In exactly the same way, my dear friend, you may well experience or engage with spirit from our side of life who have had a physical life, who actually display themselves as a pure light. And this, of course, may be as a white light or an iridescent light or perhaps a slight powdery green or something like that, but bright as a sun, nonetheless. And it appears in your peripheral vision, perhaps, or maybe even when you see or observe a movement from the peripheral vision of your space, and you see that it will be blended with a light coalescence as well. And this is, of course, because of the spirit impact upon your physical nature and the change and observance of vibration as it comes through, filters through to the physical world. And that is, of course, because the vibration in the spirit world is of a different rate, a different frequency. It simply means, then, that with the use of colour, we are actually able to adopt certain principles with colour using the same vibrancy that we would use, that any spirit use when they are trying to come through to the physical world. They will use a different frequency in order to do that. We'll have to raise their vibration very often of a different state. So it may be just altering the state of their vibration in order that you may actually visualize them. So that doesn't mean to say that they're of a lower vibration. It means to say that it's just a change in frequency to be able to allow you to accept their visitation.
So how do you decide which color to use to heal somebody who's just come to the spirit world that needs healing?
Yes, it all depends, really, upon certain specifics due to, of course, what this is. Shall we say that they physically passed through it? I know that it doesn't have any bearing or semblance to how they are now because they're pure spirit and they don't have disease. But, of course, as we have talked about at great length before, disease is always a product of the mind consciousness, and that, of course, is the state of the situation that they take with them to the spirit world. And it's the consciousness setting that we have to deliver from the disease aspect that they had in physical life. So very often, shall we say, cancer very often appears as a yellowing.
That's right, you mentioned that. So what colour would you use to heal somebody with cancer that had come across?
Well, it is usually with indigo or violet or some colour like that. And that is something which we don't just use the colour. We use the colour in order to sate the person and in order to actually help them overcome the stresses of the situation that they were in, perhaps that have entrapped them and kept them, held them back in some way.
Mm. So basically, the colour itself hasn't got any specific healing properties, physical properties, but it's the energy that you bring with the colour.
Well, yes, but it is also, though, a certain form of energy that surrounds that colour in that person's concept of their ability to understand. Of course, this is assuming that the spirit of the physical person who comes to our side of life has actually got an understanding of colour or has a situation of the percept of colour. If, of course, you have a situation where the person is blind, then they will have no intention of colour and no notation to perhaps move with that aspect of healing.
And like we said last week, in that case, they would be asked if they would like to borrow the cellular memory of somebody else to have that experience.
Yes, absolutely.
And that would be a whole new, another whole new learning curve for them.
Yes, absolutely. What? So, and it's not to say either that that takes a long time to do. It's something which can be almost instantaneous.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh,
that's
absolutely so.
What about the people that that go together in a group, in a large group?
Yes, if they're victims of some disaster or aeroplane disaster or accident or something like that.
But what about that? Because I've heard you before say that you they are held in sort of a bubble of love.
Yes.
You've called it.
Yes.
Is this a colour?
It is not a colour specifically. It is a vibration of understanding and giving from the spirit world. That is basically what happens, and that they are, in a sense, contained and bathed in that feeling and sense of purpose. The purpose being, of course, of relieving them of the fear and worry of their transition. Perhaps because, especially if they met their passing at an explosion or something like that, then they wouldn't actually have any conscious memory of it anyway, of the situation, because it is immediate, and there is no there's no cessation of time in that respect. You would. I put this. In the respect of a person physically going through the passing state, you will sometimes have a gravitation of time or the presence of time as you pass from one state of reality to the other in the process of passing. You may remember the journey that you took perhaps through the tunnel of light that you experienced because of chemical reactionary states of biological function to do with your actual cell memory and to do with your physical biosphere, that is you. The situation will be, of course, that in order for some people to traverse this as a problem, they may see it as a problem because perhaps their journey in passing is something of a slow, laborious thing. Quite simply because they may not actually know where they're going, or it's not necessarily something which is automatic because it can, as I have said so often before, depend upon the consciousness state and what exactly happens during that consciousness state. So, however, for some people who are, shall we say, that they have been obliterated in a moment, in one single moment, 1 minute they're in the physical state, and the next minute they're in the spirit world, and they felt nothing, understood nothing, maybe even do not quite understand of the transitionary process, because it was suddenly they were there, and they were aware or not aware, depending upon their consciousness state, and its ability to transfer from one reality to another. You see, if you have then a person in physical life who does not meditate or who never ever prays or who never ever says a condition or creates a condition in their physical life for living, for a loving, giving experience in physical life, then you will have a person who is of a lower vibration.
Even though they're nice people?
Well, yes, but if they're nice people, then they're going to do something for something else.
Oh, yeah.
Even if exactly. Even if it means petting an animal.
Mm. Oh, I see.
Giving an animal food. That is something which orchestrates your vibration. Mm. And is something which then creates love. That's not to say that animals do not experience love at all, either. Because, of course, they do. Because they give to one another. They give to one another in a very free way. Of course, some might say, well, I haven't seen an insect loving. But, of course, they do.
Does love have a colour?
Not specifically.
The energy of love?
Not specifically, no. It is clear. Clear, crystalline, and beautiful.
Hmm.
So how then do you possibly see it? It appears as a shimmery, what we call as a shimmery. That is, I'm trying to think of a situation in physical life in which you would perhaps understand the colour of love. The colour of love has no colour. Therefore, it is of an innate purpose, in a sense, to the physical eye and form. However, if you see energy upon a heated surface and you acknowledge that energy upon a heated surface, you look through it. It doesn't have a colour because the colour that you see is of the object which is behind the colour of the energy.
The shimmering haze sort of thing.
Yes, exactly so.
So that's what love looks like.
And that's exactly what love looks like. It does not have a colour. But it is understanding and present, quite simply, because you observe its vibration. And so you could say that if you are feeling in a pure state of being, you are not experiencing colour. You are experiencing divine presence. And the presence of love is something which is colourless.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about healing in the spirit world. Actually, we're talking about lots of things in the spirit world, but it's all really based around the healing energy of love and the possibilities of what can happen over in the spirit world. Over in the spirit world, well, I know it's just here, but we have to, as humans, always say that it's somewhere else.
It's over there.
It's over there, it's around us. We raise our eyes and we say, oh, hello, are you there? Anyway,
yes.
If you'd like to call us with a question about our subject, it's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. Go on. It's 001-530-876-3222. Is there a place, some idyllic place that you take people at times? Because you've mentioned this chamber, this reception chamber, and that can be, you said that if there are walls, I asked you if there are walls, does it actually look like a room? And you said it would be if it was in the conscious memory of the person who was actually, that you were healing.
Yes. So, for example, there, my dear friend, if you have a person who passes or for whatever reason needs healing, the situation will be that whatever is the beautiful, the most beautiful and perfect concept within that individual's understanding and consciousness will be relayed and amplified all around them. So, and of course, we're talking about a scene scenario. We're not talking about an interaction that person has, but perhaps an environment. We are reproducing an environment that person, that individual has in their experience.
You're getting that from their cellular memory?
Yes, we're looking into it.
Oh, hello, caller.
Hello there, Sylvie. How are you?
Oh, hi, Brian.
Hello, dear Gregory.
Hello, dear friend. Hello.
Hi.
Well, I had a question, kind of a two-part question.
Okay.
My first question is, let me see how this, are there, on your side of life, Gregory, is there a, when one crosses over to the other side, are there kind of reintegration, kind of, when one wakes up, do they wake up through the, what you call the resurrection halls?
Yes. Well, I have to say, my dear friend, what actually happens is that it may well be that the first thing that you have to do as a being, of course, is to reignite the situation between friends and family who have also passed, perhaps if that's appropriate. Not, of course, if you've been abused by them. We wouldn't put you through something like that. And is to say quickly that the situation of abuse is always at the behest and the inference of the person who was abused. So there must never, ever be fear on the part of anyone from your side of life as they transition over to our side of life, thinking that they are then going to be confronted by some family member who abused them in physical life. Mm. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that a little more later.
Yes, quite so. So, secondly then, the situation is to do with the reconstruction of your physical life and whether you have to make reparations to do with that physical life. Of course, that will be to do with when you actually come to perhaps the part of the halls of learning where within the reception chamber, perhaps or perhaps not, it may be just to do with your journey, that you may eventually come to the halls of learning and to that part where your Akashic book lives, and in which case you will actually be confronted with those situations of your past physical life to do with the reading of your Akashic book, and of course any responsibility that you have to take for those situations in your physical life are met with there. And incidentally, in case you forget anything or you think that you can sweep things under the carpet, of course, your Akashic book is the perfect and complete record of every thought and nuance, every activity that you ever did in physical life. And also, just to make sure that you don't forget anything, your doorkeeper will be present as well, just to nudge you into those little unforgetful corners that you would like to steer away from. Of course, what you have to remember as well, I will just finish now, that what you have to remember as well is that your situation here is not being judged by anyone else. You're not on trial for the situations of your life. What is actually happening is that because of you actually being able to regurgitate your journey, you are trialing yourself. You are your own judge and your own victim of circumstance. So therefore, it is for you to meet with your responsibilities of the situations that you create in physical life. So no matter what you do in trying to steer away from it, you ultimately will have to face everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope that's clear.
Yes, it is. Thank you. The other thing real quick was the different dimensions in between are what you call subspace. From your point of view and from our point of view, are there many dimensions that separate our world from yours?
Well, I would have to say, my dear friend, there are not many dimensions that separate the spirit world from the physical reality. It's just an altered state. So, if in fact, you could look at it like going down a slide, if you wish, if you will. Yeah. You're on a mat, and you take the plunge, and you go off down a slide, and it turns this way and that way. It takes you through different situations of at one minute you are horizontal and at the next minute you are on a downward journey and the next minute you are on an upward journey. It's a bit like that. But actually what you experience is over so quickly. And there it is. You're there. You're there, in fact, and you haven't actually moved an inch from your physical life, but you are there purely as a different vibration, as a different altered state, not necessarily of consciousness either, because you may well be taking exactly the same state of consciousness that you took in your last breath of life.
Yes, yes. Okay, can one, through meditation, visit the halls of learning? Or is that only when one crosses over?
You may visit the halls of learning, my dear friend, yes. The point is, of course, your point of entry is really to do with whether you can accept it or not. Now, I'm not being misguiding here. I'm saying, really, it's particularly due to your vibration, and it is due to how you perceive yourself as a physical being. So, if, of course, you, like yourself, you are used to meditating, perhaps in silence, perhaps in the state of voids that needs to bring about this voyage. It's not for a shamanic practice in as much as with shamanic practice you use visualization and imagery a great deal to take a part of your journey. It's really a point of absolute and complete giving that you just allow the situation to wash over you. Yes, you ask for it. You ask and say, I would wish to visit the halls of learning of my soul group, if you will. And with prayers and thankfulness and great gratitude, of course, that you do this. And with a great will of love that you do this. And then it may well be that you are transported there to that place.
Oh, it's so beautiful, Gregory. Well, thank you so much. I just wanted to learn a bit about that.
Yes. Well,
Yes.
Well, thank you, my dear friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Sylvie. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
That was interesting. I mean, just reading your book, your Akashic book, shock you? Because, for instance, if it's, if it was some, mass murder or whatever. Is it and they know what they've done. But is it shocking because it's like reading somebody else's life, and then you have you judge that instantly when you're reading it because it actually isn't that familiar to you?
No, I know that. But the point is, because it is so familiar, because it's of your own personal record, it also means that it ignites all the feelings that you had. And all of those feelings that you had, don't forget, in the scenario that I had painted previously of the situation perhaps as a child that you encountered certain situations, you made decisions and judgments that perhaps it, with hindsight now you would not ever make because you are that more knowledgeable. You are aware much more of the pain and suffering that can be caused through your ill-gotten judgment and your decisions.
Yes, and when we're children we do that a lot because we don't know any different.
Exactly.
Say animals feel pain when we do certain things.
And that, of course, does not mean to say either that children are evil, some religions would have it.
No, and that's not to say that they're going to have any karma from that or anything. But
no.
But you're talking about the feelings that are evoked when you the realization takes hold.
Exactly.
Exactly, but, so basically, if somebody's really evil... and they are looking at their Akashic book, then presumably they didn't, before they were just in denial.
Yes.
But then it brings it the stark truth to them, and then that evokes the feelings that they have got down deep inside somewhere because they are a spirit, same as everybody else.
Well, absolutely, and it isn't actually their spirit's fault. Their spirit, if you like, is in default of the physical journey, and it is... a matter really of the physical conscious journey to make reparations to their spirit.
Okay. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello,
Fred.
Hi. Hello, Gregory. I have a question. Could you give me a reading? Is that possible?
A reading?
A Akashic reading?
No, we're not doing readings today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just turned in and I didn't know.
I'm sorry. Yes, we do readings from our site, from our website. You can go onto our website, and we also do the occasional Akashic reading show where we do mini free readings as well.
Can I ask maybe how I can maybe get in touch? I have a brother that passed about 8 years ago.
We don't do that on the show. There are lots of other readers on BBS Radio that would do that sort of thing.
I'm sorry, I just tuned in and I probably just didn't catch.
Hey, no, don't worry,
rules were.
If you go onto our site, spirit-teaching.com, you can find out more about us and then decide that if you want an Akashic reading at some time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes. I mean, if you are... basically, that's what happened. You were saying, you've said before that not all people, obviously, if they're that evil, they've got to get to some point where they want to face up to that. So they're not even going to go to look at their Casey book, are they, a lot of the time?
No, quite so. And don't forget as well that some people who have gone through that kind of negativity will actually relish the point of actually being able to face it again. And so it's as though it then bolsters their energy. And they will actually gravitate further negativity from it.
So, are they not guided and monitored and restricted then on that act? I mean, surely...
Well, of course, yes, that is something which then means to say that they are only self-reflective. So it means to say that people who are in that problem of their physical life, when even though they're spirit now, that what will actually happen is that they will... be reflective only of the situation that brought them into that negativity, and it will be there constantly. And until they are able to actually move beyond that, that will be their bedfellow.
And going back to about the fact that we don't have to see people that we were fearful of here, you know,
yes.
If we're fearful of them here, then
yes.
we don't have to see them when we get over there, which is a great relief.
Yes.
What happens, how is that monitored? How do these spirits get stopped from contacting you?
Well, quite simply, my dear friend, because they will not have been able to have overcome their problems that they had, perhaps unless you, as a being, the victim, forgive them. So, does that mean to say then that you could have a race of people who are unforgiving of another race, perhaps? And then that is a cycle of negativity which that race continues with. I cite perhaps various wars or situations of attrition which have happened between certain sects, religious sects, or aspects of race upon physical life. And you have situations of ethnic cleansing that has happened in order to remove the obstacle physically, but remember that that's something which then remains in the spirit world. So how on earth do you overcome that? It's a problem which each individual has to overcome themselves. If they do not forgive, they themselves, it will keep them down. It will keep their vibration low if they do not forgive.
So... But we, as human beings, we would think that somebody would be physically restraining these people from getting near us.
But they
can't. It doesn't happen like that.
But they cannot do that. They cannot get near you because your vibration does not allow it because they were the abusers. It's as simple as that. The vibration doesn't correlate. It's not like you can, in the physical world, thrust yourself upon someone else. You cannot do that. In the spirit world, because the vibration doesn't mesh. So they may, it's as though you can imagine yourself in the physical reality trying to swipe at a spirit, shall we say. And it may be the spirit of a non-contiguous form, meaning that it's a spirit remembrance. It's not the spirit presence there itself. It's a situation which had occurred perhaps in the past and which no longer has a semblance of time. So it means to say it just repeats itself because of your energy being close to it. It's something that you try to interact with, but it doesn't cooperate, quite simply because the spirit isn't actually present. But that is exactly the same thing that will happen in the situation of a victim of abuse, whereby the abuser tries to make contact, and it's as though they're grasping at thin air because their vibration is so different. And it is only at the point of which their victim decides or comes to terms with the situation through healing, perhaps, of their consciousness. Yes. It may be through other situations of their climb into the understanding and vibration of the spirit world that actually enables that person to overcome their previous situation that was brought upon them. It's not their fault, after all. They're an innocent.
Okay. Are there teams in these reception chambers, shall we say, who specialize in specific areas of trauma?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, absolutely so. And usually it will be that people, let's stick to the situation of abuse, mm-hmm. Of abusive situations. At present, it will be that those in the spirit world who draw nearest first will be those who have been abused themselves and have got over it, have become unblemished by the situation, quite simply have erased that form of negativity from them. So particularly, I have to say, if a person actually passes through abuse,
mm-hmm.
that is the case, mm-hmm. and that will be the case of who they are met by.
It's funny, isn't it? We automatically think, if I'm going to die of a heart attack, I hope there's a heart surgeon over there to look after me when I get there.
Yes, it won't actually happen like that, of course.
But you know what I mean?
Yes.
But, you know, because yes, all they need to know how to do is to give love and understanding. And
that's
yes,
right.
it's the actual, and I presume that would be the same if somebody had been, lost in a war situation.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yes, absolutely so. It is the same every time.
These people will be the ones,
yes.
Apart from loved ones, say, and
yes.
relatives.
Yes, others who have gone through a similar trauma will know the best how it is resolved. Of course, it won't be those who are still undergoing the trauma or something like that
no.
as a latter memory.
No.
It is actually to do with the fact that they have overcome it and have gone beyond it, moved beyond it. Therefore, their form of love and giving is of ultimate understanding that you could only just dream of. In the physical world.
And what about, like we do here, when we're trying to rescue trapped spirits here,
yes.
you, in the spirit world, have to try and find, you know, their relatives, their family, and that sort of thing, to come along and try and coax them back to help us to send them on their way. And,
yes,
and
of course.
And do some therapy on them, as it
yes,
were.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, the identity of, finding the identity of such a person is quite a difficult task to begin with. Because we actually have to understand their specific gravity and vibration index in order to coax them, perhaps, into actually communicating with us a little, even if it's just a first name or a something.
So,
is something.
So is this something that you have to do with these people that have just passed? You have to find their relatives for them, maybe? If they don't know how to use their consciousness, yet, and you haven't,
it's possible.
They haven't done that yet.
It is possible that we
and
do
you
that.
You bring them to them.
Yes, but however, I have to say that usually for people who are passing, perhaps, shall we say, slowly, that they are passing due to some illness. So it's something that is already there and ready. Pavarotti, for example, mm-hmm. had an enormous amount of other acquaintances and friends and loved ones mm-hmm. who were all around him in the spirit world before. And together with those of the physical reality as well. So there was such a tremendous amount of love that was present there, willing him just to let go.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, well, like you say, not everybody needs healing when they get to the other side.
No, quite
so. It all depends on the situation and the religion, presumably.
Yes.
Is there different situations of in the chambers that religious sect will look after their religious, their own kind when they came over?
Yes,
right.
Absolutely so,
of
course. In which
case everybody else has to stand back anyway.
Well, yes, yes. And we'll just leave them to it because
yeah.
that is what is expected of them for their own conscious mind reality. And I also have to take a point, of course, that for some people who just pass over, what they really want is food.
Pavarotti last week.
Yes.
He ate a bowl of pasta.
Yes, he did. First thing he did. Yes.
Hmm.
Absolutely. Yes. And so the situation is, you see, that it will always be the case that whatever is uppermost in the mind of the conscious state, that which is most beloved of that human of that human mind and frailty of the state of mind in which that being is at the last point or before they pass, perhaps, is something which is then endured and captivated, in a sense, and amplified in order so that it's something which, yes, I remember this. Mm.
And so how you got so good at making lemonade for children?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes. Children always love lemonade, especially my lemonade. I use real lemons, you know.
Ah, oh, that's funny. So there are different reception chambers for different areas and ways of passing.
Yes.
And
It isn't to say that it's like a different building. It's just something which accommodates. We're very accommodating with the person who is passing. So whatever their feelings and their mainstay of their conscious state throughout their life or through the last moments of their life, shall we say, mm-hmm. that's something which will just be amplified because we use the conscious memory and the cellular structure of that conscious memory to regurgitate the actual environment that would be best, safest for that person to dwell in whilst they are overcoming the problem that they may have had in their passing.
Absolutely. Do you ever get any extraterrestrial species working with other, because now they're in the spirit world.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. So especially those, of course, who are of a duality and purpose of great loving and intention.
Mm.
And those will be just as equally present as there are many of those on our side of life who have had a human physical life who are also present in their worlds and help in their transition.
In the extraterrestrial?
Yes, it doesn't matter. Species is not the problem. The problem is the attitude of mind. Once you've overcome that, perhaps the racialism that exists in physical, mortal humanity is something which holds back humanity from the ever-present glow of the afterlife of love.
Mm. And then there's the animal. What about animal reception chambers?
Yes, well, the situation is the same. Of course, you must acknowledge as well, all beings must acknowledge, that most animals actually have to undergo some form of a detriment to do with their passing because they're usually eaten alive.
Yes, very often, yes.
And so that is something which is, of course, an actual part of the activity of the spirit world that we... It is not just human beings who come to heal animals, it's other animals. Mm-hmm. Animals from their soul group who welcome them back. And who, well, basically what we allow and facilitate and help, hopefully, with our loving vibration to facilitate for any other being, is also, of course, the presence of this undivided love and attention to heal them from the problem that they suffered at the point of their passing, or the moments leading up to it.
And presumably there will be animals there that, like you said before, have gone through.
Exactly the same experience.
Yeah.
And of course, it's also to say as well that many animals could possibly be present at your passing, particularly if you have had a very loving environment toward animals and have been very responsive to them in a very giving way.
Mm.
Perhaps ensuring of their habitat or being overly protective of them, like Peter Scott was, for example. He was absolutely surrounded by birds when he passed.
Was he? I mean, yes, that would be very comforting to open your eyes and just see animals.
And they were beautiful and they were fanning him with their wings.
Were they?
Yes. It was the most beautiful experience. One of the most blessed times I have ever witnessed as a spirit being. Was the journey of Sir Peter Scott at the point of his passing.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
And they were all singing at the same time as well.
Gosh.
They were singing to him. There were thousands upon thousands.
Oh, wow. And with that wonderful image, we come to time again.
With love and light and my sincere thanks from on behalf of all of those in spirit world, who bathe your world in love. May you be ever present, my friend and bird. God bless.
Thank you. I know the listeners are very grateful of being bathed in the spirit world's love too. We need it, don't we? And we do appreciate that. I'd just like to say quickly that we will be in Portland. We've got quite a few situations going on in Portland where you can come and meet Gregory. Come and meet us and Gregory. Friday, September the 28th, in between 7 and 9 p.m. In Portland. We are at Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces. That's 503-528-1430. It's on Broadway. You can find out these details from our website. We're also on October the 6th, Saturday, 3 to 5 at Spirit Feathers in Selwood in Portland. That's 503-956-5665 to reserve a space. And like I say, go onto our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out about all our venues. We've got lots of workshops going on where you can learn about trance. Numerous times you can meet Gregory. We're doing protection workshops, circle development workshops, lots of good stuff. Come and meet us. And we hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you so much for our call, Brian. And I'd like to say thank you for listening to everybody. And do join us again next time on Spirit's Work, either on Monday or Thursday, or both, preferably. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.
Everybody out there, this is Xenia Seberg, and who are you? Because I'm there no matter where you are, because this is Dr. Fred Bell's show on BBS Radio.
Health, Science, and Energy show on BBSRadio.com.
We'll make you sound better than you sound right now.
Well, that's a good thing. For me, it's like midnight here. I'm going to bed, which doesn't matter to you guys. Aren't you ready? Stay tuned.